Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello.
Good to see you once again.
Yes. And it's good to have listeners with us as well. So hello to our listeners. This is great.
Hello. And people are going to listen intently this week because it's getting to be tax season here soon. We're getting our W-4s and W-2s in the mail, 1099s, and we're collecting those things. And we want to know how estate planning can help with taxes.
Yeah, there's a lot of tax issues that we need to address. And I'm concerned that maybe there is an errant philosophy out there that estate planning is just about moving money, and there are missed opportunities that estate planning can actually assist with taxes. And of course, there's multiple different types of taxes that we need to talk about when we have an estate planning and tax and specific tax discussion. So with proper estate planning, there's an estate tax that we're always concerned with, and we'll talk about that. And then there's income taxes. That's what we get every year. That's what you were just referring to, is that at the beginning of any given year, we get information based upon what we earned. 1099s come out, 1099 dividends, and the list goes on. We get all of this mail that shows us how much income we made. So income taxes are a part of the equation. And then retirement, IRAs. What happens with those during an estate settlement? What happens with those, and what are the tax consequences? So there's multiple layers of taxes that we need to talk about that are very specific to estate planning. And without any estate planning, then you are just left with no planning whatsoever. And so my call always is we need to do estate planning to some degree. And the question is, what is in your best interest? And that may be a family question. That may be a you question. So maybe you need to be better protected during your lifetime. Well, estate planning can accomplish that. And many of you have a question about what does it mean to help with taxes when we do estate planning. So that's what this series is going to be talking about, which is how can estate planning assist you with your taxes, and we have three different categories to really uncover and talk about during this series.
Well, there are estate taxes, income taxes, and retirement taxes. So let's start with estate taxes. Now, these have gone up to a little higher threshold in the last few years. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's on a federal level. So when we talk about estate taxes, there's two different estate taxes we need to be aware of. The first one that you just mentioned is the federal limit. Now, the federal limit this year went up to $12,060,000. So that's 12060 and then another three zeros. So let's even first start, before we even get lost in that one yet, let's talk about what does it mean to have a tax exemption. So a tax exemption means that you can have so much money and it is exempt from that type of tax. So when I say that the federal limit is a little over $12 million, that means that the first $12 million that anyone owns in their estate. So remember, we're not talking about income right now. We're talking about estate taxes. That the first $12 million is therefore exempt from taxes. Now, that might be a little bit of a misnomer, because if you had given during your lifetime, if you had given any money away, so if you had done some gifting, so I have two daughters, and hopefully they don't listen to this portion of the radio show. So if I had given my kids $50,000 each one year, okay, that means that I gave them more than what the IRS says I'm allowed to give in an annual basis, which is now $16,000. It used to be 14. It used to be 12. Hmm. That keeps moving as well. Hmm. And that's the annual limit that I can give someone without even having to tell the IRS. So if I had given them $50,000 in one given year, then that means I gave them more than what I'm allowed to without telling the IRS. So it's not that a tax would be due if I gifted somebody money. It simply means I need to tell the IRS. Why? Because they track that during your lifetime, and that reduces your estate tax ability. So I said that it's at $12 million. Let me use some bigger numbers. Let's say for simple math, I gave $1 million to one of my kids, and I have $12 million of exemption. Well, I die. That means that I have $12 million, but I gave $1 million during my lifetime to one or both of my girls. And so that means I have to subtract that lifetime gift. And so therefore, I only have $11 million that I could die with. So the exemption moves on a federal level. And so we need to be careful with what does it mean to have a federal exemption amount, because that's a moving target. Now, here's the other thing about this federal exemption, which is that it's going to be cut in half in a couple of years. So right now, it's a very, very high number. And for many people, even if that's cut in half, that number is still a high number at 6 million. So we anticipate that it's going to land someplace between $5.5 and $6 million. And that's just because the current law that lifted that federal estate tax to be so high, that's going to sunset in 2 years. So therefore, we know, regardless of who's in the White House, unless a new law is passed, and of course, being under a current Democratic White House, they want to lower estate taxes, so they're not going to keep the current rate right now. So their desire would be to move it down now. They didn't do that, so that's good if you are a high net worth family. But in 2 years, they're certainly not going to stop that that sunset from going from 12 back down to someplace between 5.5 and 6 million. We'll see where the inflation rates end up. So that it's a moving target right now. So the unfortunate part about the federal estate tax is that it is falsely elevated right now, which means that if you die in the next year or two, by the way, that's not a good reason to die, is to save taxes. But if you were to die in the next year or two, then you get to take advantage of the escalated amount of federal tax. However, if you do not, then there needs to be better planning around this whole issue of federal estate tax. And because it's going to come plummeting down, your exemption level is going to move. And like I said, we have to also know and track what have you given over your lifetime to other people so that we can possibly add that into the mix. Now, nonprofits don't count. So you can give to nonprofits, and that does not erode
your federal exemption.
Yep, that's right. That is. And so, but if you give money to an individual, then that's where it starts counting. So, and also, almost every gift to a spouse is then not counted, right? So we don't think about money that we share between spouses going from my account to my wife's account, if indeed you kept separate accounts, as being a gift, but technically it's a gift, and there's an exemption that covers that. So between spouses, if you give to nonprofits, so continue to give to God's work, continue to build the God's kingdom, all of that does not erode your federal exemption number. So that is all free and clear of this part of estate tax planning. So that's the federal level. That's very, very high. But we have a second estate tax that we need to make mention of. So
Washington has an estate tax.
It wants to steal the day. So and that is a lower threshold. That's at $2,193,000. So let's call it $2 million because I like round numbers. Or 2.2 if you want. So around that number, $2.2 million, that first money is exempt from Washington state estate tax. Okay, so I've defined exemption. So remember, that means that that first money is exempt. I just got done talking about if you give a gift to somebody that the federal government tracks that. Washington state does not. So you can give a gift to someone. So I could give $1 million to my kids And I have to tell the federal government, but I don't have to tell Washington State. So there's a little bit of a space there to that estate planners can work with as far as reducing an estate. So if you're close to that $2 million value, it might be wise to actually begin to think about, do I want to be generous to my family? Now, let me stop everything right there. It needs to be done in the proper way. So just writing checks to little Billy Bob may not be the best solution, okay? But in a good estate plan, in a designed estate plan, that might be a part of the tool that we use for eliminating or reducing estate taxes. So in Washington, it is anytime you are close to $2 million, even as a married couple, then you need to be doing tax planning on the estate level. The thing about the Washington state estate tax is that it is a much lower tax rate. So if you exceed the exemption amount on the federal level, it's a 40% tax. In Washington, it starts at a 15% tax and it graduates up to 21%. Hmm. So that can still be a little bit bitey over the long haul, depending if how much you actually have in your estate. But it's not as bad as the federal amount, that's for sure. But why even pay 15% if you don't have to pay 15%? Hmm. And as we talk about taxes, almost every estate tax is optional. And here's how it's optional. It is optional if you plan. If you don't plan, then you are simply going to pay a tax. And now it's not optional. So really, an estate tax, these two major estate tax categories, a federal level or a state level, at different exemption amounts and at different taxing rates, those are optional taxes. And there are things that we can do in estate planning that either mitigates, in other words, it reduces the liability should you pass away, or we can completely eliminate it. There are tools and there are tricks that we can legally use to ensure that money is passed on to family, onto charities, and to places that you want your finances to be used. And this really comes down to being a good steward, which is if you know that you have a tax to pay. Now, the tax attorney is not opposed to paying taxes, okay? So I'm a tax attorney. I'm not opposed to paying taxes. When I pay taxes, it means that I've actually made money, and I don't mind making money. So therefore, not every tax is bad in my brain. However, bad taxes are ones that you should have planned for, and now you're paying them because of no planning or poor planning. And that optional tax, that one I highly object to. So if you are in a category to where you're nearing $2 million, or if you're in a high net worth estate plan, or you have a stock option that went crazy on you, well, congratulations. But now we need to do better planning, and we need to do it because that is what we're called to as believers. We are called to be good stewards. That word stewardship in the New Testament means to be an administrative giver. So we want to make sure that we are giving our wealth that God has placed in our hand to the right people instead of to possibly the government. Now, if you want to support Washington State and everything that they're doing right now, go ahead. But I'm saying that this is completely optional. There are ways to absolutely mitigate and reduce it, but we can also fully eliminate it if you so desire. So it all starts with good, intentional planning. And maybe you're thinking, well, I had my estate plan done 5 years ago, and the other attorney that I used talked about it. Well, you're way overdue for a review at 5 years. Way overdue. Not just overdue, but way overdue. So there have been multiple legal changes this year on in Washington State to where you need to get back to an attorney to have it reviewed. If it's not me, then choose the other estate planner again. I don't care, but get it reviewed. Specifically when you have a tax issue, you must stay on it. You need to find an attorney that has a relationship program so that the taxes can be eliminated or reduced according to the plan at hand.
Okay, very intriguing. Estate planning for taxes, the subject this week with estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. People are intrigued, Paul. How do they find out more?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's more information. There's past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up, and you can contact us through that website as well. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, having a discussion about estate planning for taxes this week with Paul, and he made the provocative statement that estate taxes are optional.
They are. They really are.
If you plan. And that's what
right.
He wants to kind of get people, not kind of, but definitely wants people to consider.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you are in a place where your estate has close to $2 million. Now, why am I using that number? Because in most estate planning, if you are married, then who do you leave everything to? And men, if you are listening with your wife, this is when you turn to her and you say, "To you, baby. And because I just love you so much, you can have everything that we've done together." And so that's the correct answer, by the way. Typical estate planning means that the surviving spouse, whether it's male or female, so the surviving spouse will end up with everything. Well, if we use a traditional plan, or if we have not strategically planned, or even worse, if we just have no plan at all, then everything you have will be put into the survivor's hands, and we missed the opportunity to properly plan. So it's not that the surviving spouse is going to be absent of anything with good planning. It just means that we've missed a tax opportunity because we didn't properly properly plan. So therefore, yes, you're right, Mark. We need to properly plan.
Yeah.
And so get on that. And specifically if you're anywhere near that $2 million mark, or even if you have a little bit less, if you're younger, if you're in your 50s, 60s, isn't that nice to know that 50s and 60s are younger? And you're getting close to that number, then you definitively need to plan, let alone if you're already retired and you have that at your fingertips.
Okay, well, let's move on then to income taxes. How do we estate plan for income tax issues?
Well, and really income tax issues are a question about how does that become applicable to the next generation? So we do have three different taxes. We have an estate tax, which we've now talked about. We have income tax considerations. And the proper estate planning for you is in estate planning, we should design things that also help you during any time of disability in your life. So what does it mean for you to become disabled? In other words, my definition of disabled is you need assistance for one reason or another. And that could be a mental incapacitation. That could be a grave physical issue. And so I don't know what curveball life is going to throw us, but we need to be prepared that should I be alive, but not well, in other words, unable to manage my money, not able to speak over my finances, not able to spend it in the same way that I have in the past, there needs to be a plan to ensure your safety and that your finances are going to be used for your benefit. And that includes that there are potential income tax advantages or opportunities that we can take when you are compromised. So estate planning can revolve around the necessity of planning for you. As a matter of fact, it should. That is one of the big two categories. I need to protect you, and then I can protect the ones that you leave behind should you die. But step one, I can't neglect the client in front of me. We need to make sure that they are well taken care of. And yes, there are tax things that need to be addressed during that conversation that help may mitigate or make sure that we're utilizing the income tax structure on an annual basis to its greatest advantage.
Hmm. Okay, so is that enough about income taxes? Do you want to move on to retirement taxes?
Yeah.
What do you mean by a retirement tax?
Yeah, so these two are linked for the person who is doing the planning, which is we have a retirement account. And of course, if you withdraw money from your retirement account, then that goes to your taxable income. Okay. And assuming that you're over 59 and a half, there's not going to be an early withdrawal penalty. So let's assume that you are 60 years or older and that you can utilize your retirement fund without any type of penalty. So we don't have to have that discussion. So one of the things that we need to look at with proper estate planning is if you have a larger IRA, so let's say you own a home and you have a reasonably sized IRA, and those are your two biggest assets. As a matter of fact, I have many clients that those are their two biggest assets that they have. Well, retirement funds, when they are inherited, have a tax consequence. And really the idea of mitigating taxes from an IRA is it becomes a family holistic viewpoint. And of course, if you don't have kids, then it becomes a beneficiary holistic viewpoint, which is where is your IRA going to go should you die? And what is the best tax advantage? Is it better for you, believe it or not, to increase your distributions and take some more of the tax hit right now, during your lifetime, instead of passing that asset on to your beneficiaries? So if you have beneficiaries that are high income earners, maybe they have a job at Microsoft or they're in the tech industry, or they're an engineer at Boeing. So there's many good paying jobs out there. And if your beneficiaries indeed have a good paying job, you may be missing a tax opportunity with holistic IRA planning. See, unfortunately, many financial advisors will utilize an IRA that is just strictly for you and only look at your purposes, and why we never want to sacrifice any need and care that you are going to have. So I'm not suggesting that you become less wealthy or that you are less financially secure, but at some point, there may be an opportunity to look at an IRA and plan it holistically in the estate plan together instead of segregating it as just your asset. So this needs to be reviewed and looked at, again, from a holistic viewpoint. So now we have estate taxes, we have income tax, and we have what is going to happen to the IRA. And is it better to take more income tax now, or is it better to pass that on to the beneficiaries and let them pay the income tax? I don't know, because we haven't sat down and looked at what your income tax structure is, who the beneficiaries are, and what does it mean to do really good holistic planning. Estate planning is not just about you. As a matter of fact, it's very little about you. There's a whole component that is strictly about you. making sure that you are taken care of during your lifetime. Then there's a whole nother segment that is absolutely not about you, which is how does money pass? How does everything that I have pass to the next generation or to my beneficiaries or to charities? How do I set that up in the most tax-advantaged way for everybody altogether? And I'm not so sure that many people look at estate planning in such a holistic viewpoint. Specifically, I'm very concerned that not many people look at financial planning in a holistic viewpoint. So once you have reached a place to where we know you are financially taken care of, then that is a part of my job, which is then to say, okay, let's take a look at the holistic estate plan and let's start making a plan that aligns with your values, ensuring your safety, but then not sacrificing the beneficiaries and their taxing objectives as well.
Estate planning for taxes, the subject this week, and looking at estate, income, and retirement taxes, all different ways to approach those with good estate planning. I love that statement. Paying taxes on these things is optional.
Yeah.
That's good news. But you need to exercise
but only if you plan.
You got to plan. You got to check into what Paul is talking about with more details. How do people find out more, Paul?
Well, head over to Legacy and Faith to connect with me, to connect with past podcasts or upcoming educational opportunities, and much more information at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, we will continue this discussion next time. Always great stuff. The Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.